Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about this morning. We got the championship games. We got the Texans offensive coordinator situation. We've got Rockets basketball. We got Cougs basketball. What a morning. And we got, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Oh, yeah, we got Alex Bregman and Ryan Pressly to talk about. We got stuff. We got stuff to talk about this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Where do you want to start?
Oh, my gosh. Did you even mention Super Bowl? I don't think you even said Super Bowl, did you?
I said the AFC, NFC Championship.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I think we start with Slowik.
Bobby Slowik.
Yeah, I think that's
that is probably the biggest story from the weekend, along with Alex Bregman and that possibility, and Ryan Pressly going.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, you're right, there's a lot.
So, you know, that Christmas Day performance. You know, I think D'Amico gave us a precursor on his exit interview.
That was an interesting shortness, but I still didn't think that it mattered. I mean, he was short, but it was short. It was curt.
I mean, you have been adamant that he was going to get fired.
No,
what do you think now about the whole situation?
Okay, so, and I've heard some, I've gotten some pretty good intel behind the scenes. What is one of the things that I said? There was one caveat where I said, unless this is the case.
Unless CJ didn't want him.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to put the blame on CJ on this thing.
No. I'm not putting a blame on him. I don't think CJ was tight with Bobby Slowik like I thought. I don't think he's tight with him like maybe his answers at press conference would give you the
well, if I'm CJ,
I think CJ's smart at how he's answered questions.
If I'm CJ, I can't be nearly as happy with or confident in Bobby Slowik as I was my rookie year. I just can't be. Not with the offensive line problems that couldn't be fixed. Not with the beating that he took with all the sacks. One of the league leaders in sacks.
Well, all that stuff has to get fit. Chris Strausser's gone. The assistant offensive line coach, Cole Popovich, is gone. Like, I think CJ probably understands.
Ultimately, we keep saying that, okay, offensive line. Listen, it falls on the offensive coordinator.
Line protection, I'm telling you, as a line coach's son, it all falls on the offensive line.
Well, I've seen a lot of offensive coordinators, too, though. And you know what? They work intimately with
the
offensive line coach.
But getting guys blocked.
And week in and week out, you're getting your ass kicked as a quarterback. You know what? Ultimately, it falls on the OC.
I'm just going to disagree with you 1,000,000,000%, because your job's no line coach is to get guys executing properly. That's not the OC's job. The OC is protections. It's getting stuff like that. That's fine if there's misprotection calls off the rip, which also means that CJ is not allowed to change protection calls.
No one's saying that Bobby Slowik was teaching technique.
But his O-line coach is not. That's what I'm saying. The O-line coach.
Nobody is saying that. What I'm saying is that if it's week in and week out and it's continuing problems. And, oh, by the way, there were protection problems because they couldn't even pick up simple stunts.
So
they
Shaq
couldn't
Mason
pick up
gone?
Simple stunts.
Is Shaq gone? Is it consistent getting behind the sticks because of Laremy Tunsil dropping?
But who always goes first?
Gone too?
Who always goes first? The coach.
I know that, and that was my point. I knew the O-line coach was going to be gone. I knew that he needed to be gone. Honestly, if you continue to have these mistakes against stunts and twists, the thing is, and I think the same thing could be said for D'Amico and Bobby Slowick. They don't have as much confidence in D'Amico after his second year. So the same way you said that about Slug, I don't think there's any doubt that I don't have as much confidence in.
Oh, I don't know. I
in the
you
quarterback.
Know what?
The
listen,
quarterback
here's
when it's good.
Here's it about that. I mean, Dell watched the Miami with Brian Flores for years, right? What Brian Flores couldn't get right was the OC. He had to change OCs all the time. He couldn't get that right. I'll tell you this: D'Amico got the defense right this year. That's his specialty.
No, hold on, Dell. Don't you go anywhere. One of the problems is that, you can go wherever you need to go. One of the problems, Dell and I talked about this, he couldn't get the OC right. You know what his problem was? He couldn't figure it out. Like, defensive coordinators have, this is not going to be a defend Bobby, so I'm going to tell you the information I have. Defense coordinators are notorious for not being able to lock in on an OC. They just can't. They shuffle. Mike Tomlin has done it. You have Brian Flores did it. I'm worried that D'Amico's going to do it. I'm worried that these guys, because they in their heart, they see football differently than OCs. OCs are too finesse, typically, for head coach DCs. But I don't think this came. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think this. I think ultimately this came from, I don't think CJ liked him as much as we thought, based on some conversations I had over the weekend, which actually was very surprising me, because CJ's given the right answers. But then I did hearken back to, I was told before the draft that the thing with CJ Stroud, this is before he was, I was just doing draft research on CJ Stroud. It wasn't a text or anything. I told you guys the story about he and maybe you didn't hear me, he and Bobby Slowick had a run-in before the draft. So what happened was, I'll tell you the whole thing now that Slowick's gone. CJ Stroud came to visit the Texans, and Bobby Slowick was telling him, okay, they were watching stuff on tape. Now, before I tell you this, when CJ was at Ohio State, he really didn't talk to the OC at all. That's not his guy. He didn't think he knew ball. This coming from somebody who knows CJ intimately. He didn't think the offense coordinator was very smart. So he would only talk to Ryan Day. Ryan Day was the guy who had to communicate with CJ, which I didn't love that, honestly, before the draft process. And it played into some of my thoughts on CJ in terms of coachability. He said he didn't know ball. Ryan Day's my guy, and so I'm going to listen to Ryan Day, what I heard was that he didn't like, his communication was Ryan Day and not the offense coordinator. Okay, well, that's a little strange, but whatever. He comes into Houston. Bobby Slowick is trying to tell him some stuff, and CJ just says, oh yeah, we call this, you know, whatever, XY switch, whatever it would be at Ohio State. And apparently, maybe it happened a couple times, and Bobby Slowick just kind of jumped him and said, I don't give a what you call it, Ohio State. That's college. This is pro football. And Bobby kind of got in his face about it, you know. And CJ's not one to back down at all. And CJ, and I don't know if Bobby was testing him, or I don't know what the deal was, but CJ jumped up and got back in his face. And it was very contentious. It had to be kind of broken up. And so when CJ went to his next, he went to his next draft meeting, and I talked to the team where CJ went. He went to his next draft meeting, and because I asked his team, hey, have you heard anything about this with CJ Stroud? And they said, oh, we asked CJ how his last visit went, which was Houston. He said, terrible, terrible. I don't think I'll be going there. And people who trained, like CJ's whole crew, did not want him to go to Houston. And they didn't think he was going to Houston, because it was he and Bobby got into it. And then CJ was drafted by Houston, which that's one of the reasons I was really surprised. Like, I kind of wrote, after finding that out, I wrote CJ off from the Texans, and I thought, okay, this is Will Anderson for sure. And so when they traded for him, I was very surprised, because I knew there was that lingering stuff there. But then in discussing all of it last year, I heard it was squashed. Like, there was no issue. Bobby and him were good. So I didn't think it was any kind of a deal anymore. But I do wonder, based on the Ohio State stuff with his OC there, based on his pre-dust-up, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think CJ just didn't – I just don't think he liked Bobby Slowick as a play coach. And I will say, one other person that I talked to, the same one who knew a little something about the relationship between Slowick and CJ, said, in his opinion, based on what he knows about Bobby Slowick, he's a by-the-book coordinator, but he doesn't really have the same feel for the Shanahan scheme that maybe some other coordinators have, which could lead into CJ, who knows ball. I mean, CJ knows ball. It could be where CJ's like, I just don't feel comfortable with this.
And okay. CJ, I think, probably had to give, I don't know. I'm sure they talked to CJ about it.
Yeah, he had to give his thumbs up.
There's
right?
no way you don't. I don't know right. that he gave his
blessing.
We don't know what role. Right. We don't know what role CJ played in it. D'Amico's press conference, in which he was very short and said, yeah, I saw some improvement at the end, and that was it.
That's it.
That was the writing on the wall that Bobby Slowick did. Listen, you can't do what they did at Christmas. You can't give up 8 sacks against the Chiefs. You can't regress the way that CJ did. You can't get your quarterback beat up the way that he did without paying the consequences.
It has to be more than about a protection thing. Because, like I said, you could switch out offensive.
Even still, he should have schemed it better. He should have planned. He should have called quicker, a passing game. All of the things that
all the things he did after
I don't
that?
Know about adjustments. Bobby Slowick said it himself. There's no adjustments.
But
at
you
halftime.
Did. But he did all that stuff after that. To me, that's why I don't think you could have changed offensive line coaches. And the offensive line coach, the coordinator relies on the offensive line coach. They work together, but he relies. My dad used to have arguments with Bruce Arians about 5-man protections all the time. Like, Bruce thinks he can be protected with this. That was not an issue. The Texans weren't sitting in 5-man protections all the time. That was not the case.
No.
It was guys performing poorly. It was not too many men.
Well, it was a chip that wasn't even really a chip by your tight end, who's just
it's
also
injured.
Putting a tight end against the defensive end.
I'm trying to actually make a more of a case against Bobby Slowick for you. I think you're coming up way short if you just say protection stuff, because you can get rid of the offensive line coach and then see a third time. I think it's more than that. I think that they weren't happy with how Bobby got to certain things, but I think there's also somebody in the front row of the suite. We're not real happy with him because they paid him more money. This is something I found out also. They were paying him more. Do you remember Bobby got a raise?
You didn't remember that, did you?
I had to go back and look. Bobby Slowick, I guess, got a raise last year after he had interviews and all that. After, by the way, a successful season last year.
Right.
The Texans gave
him
more money.
I'll tell you what else.
I think
what
one
else?
Of the owners.
I'll tell you what else hurt him is that, you know, Bobby slow to call plays too.
Yeah.
Bobby, I mean, getting to the line, it's like you see other teams are at the line of scrimmage with 20 seconds left on the clock. The Texans are getting there with 7.
You can't do that, man.
Can't
you
do
gotta
it.
You got to get the plays in quicker.
You got to get them in quicker, and he never improved. And he even said that.
But he's had 2
during
years.
During the year, he said, oh, we got to get to the line of scrimmage quicker,
but
and
CJ,
they didn't.
But see, CJ has 2 years in. Bobby Slowick has 2 years in. Like, these are things you learn as you go on. You're not a polished product after 2 years. D'Amico Ryans had no one's firing him. That dude was terrible in some of the decision making. Well, but he's young. I mean, he's 2 years in. I think CJ Slowick and D'Amico all suffer from the same things. They're not experienced enough right now, and that's normal. That's actually not unusual. They're still growing along with it. This is why I don't think Gerard Johnson can be offense coordinator. People are saying, what about Gerard Johnson? No. I mean, you go back to a rookie play caller?
Yeah, I don't know.
With a different offense, I think you got to bring in an OC with experience, and he's got to bring in his own O-line coach.
Right.
You have to do that.
Well, we're going to hear D'Amico talking about Chip Kelly.
But hang on. What do you think about the fact that maybe Miss Hannah was not real happy? That I guess I'm supposed to say that Cal and Hannah, I guess, Cal and Hannah weren't happy with the performance of the offense because they listen. They listen to the fans too, and you know what fans and Twitter say, and they're always fan oriented, and everyone wanted him out of there, and they weren't, and they gave him more money, and the performance wasn't as good as we all know. And I would say you might want to pay attention to ownership in this one too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it didn't, that the social media. Campaign
it affects
against
them.
Bobby Slowick didn't play a role.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't
be
surprised at all.
You guys did your job because Hannah listens to that
you did.
Stuff.
No question you did your job. And you know who else is doing their job is Game Day Men's Health. Game Day Men's Health I'm telling you, I don't know that I've ever felt better than I did this weekend. And it's because of Game Day Men's Health. It's the program that they've got me on. It's just different. I talked to Jamie and Sean and Patricia I don't know how many times over the last couple of weeks. They just care more. It just is. You have more access than you have with the other. I never talked to them ever. The other one, I've been doing testosterone replacement treatment for I don't know how long. Never ever talked to the doctors or the people at the other facilities ever. And they just care more over at Game Day Men's Health. It's just different. I'm telling you, it's better. And if you're looking for a great way, I mean, they've got solutions. They've got. You can do pellets. You can do shots. You can do pills now. Testosterone pills now. It's just different. And then they got all the peptides that are going to help you get wherever you want to get to, with your recovery from working out, with your clearer mind, with curbing your appetite. The peptides are incredible. So if you're looking for a great way to just feel better, okay, if you don't feel like you used to feel and you want to get that feeling back, GameDayMensHealth.com, GameDayMensHealth.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so Bobby Slowick, one of the big stories. We'll hear from D'Amico a little bit later in the show about Chip Kelly. When he played for Chip Kelly, what he thought of Chip Kelly. He was on
Eagles.
NFL Network. And we will hear from D'Amico about that. But we got a lot more stuff to talk about.
By the way, is Chip Kelly still under contract? Everyone talks about, is he under contract? Not that it matters, but is he under contract at Ohio State still? He didn't leave, did he?
I don't know. Jim Knowles is leaving. It looks like he's going to Penn State.
Yeah.
Or D.C. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean,
no,
that'll be a big get for, because that defense, that Ohio State defense was something. So mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if Chip, the talk is that Chip is a real possibility. So we'll see. We'll see if Doug Peterson, whatever. Let's talk about the championship. And let's talk about, first of all, the Eagles were dominant. A rookie quarterback playing in the championship game just doesn't work. What is it now? 0-8 now rookie quarterbacks are in a championship game. It just doesn't work. So there's that. There is, but the Chiefs game, and everybody is nitpicking on the fourth down play where it looked like Josh Allen had gotten there. The one ref at the top of the screen, he was on the line. The ref at the bottom of the screen was, didn't get to the line to gain, and they went with that one as opposed to the other one. When you looked overhead, you saw that it looked to me like Josh Allen had gotten to the line to gain. What else? The ball that was the catch between the defensive back and the wide receiver. And the wide receiver took it away from him on the ground. That ball touched the ground.
Xavier Worthy.
The ball didn't move. So the rule is on that, the ball may touch the ground, but if it doesn't move, then it's a catch.
It's true. It's the way it's the way it's called. However, you could see Cole Bishop had more control of it early on. I think it was probably a case of they just didn't want to overturn it. The officials had some, the most egregious, a lot of people didn't care about that one as much. I mean, if you know the rules, unless there's a shuffling of the football,
right?
It's a catch for any wide receiver or cornerback who makes it. We see that a lot. The one that really bothered people the most, if you want to get to officiating, was the first down. I was listening on the radio. I had to pick my kids up. So I was listening on the radio version of it with, it was one of the McCourties and Kevin Harlan, and they were, and then I heard the TV version. I saw that where it was Gene Steratore and Tony Romo and Jim Nance. All five of them were surprised that the first down non-call against the Bills was not overturned. All five of them were shocked.
Right, right. And that watching was a huge one. And you saw the overhead. You saw the along the line. It looked like he got it. But it was, that's a cheat, and you know what? And the referee at the top of the screen, he had him getting a first down. The only one that didn't was the referee at the bottom of the screen came running up, and he put it short. and they went with that.
Somebody said and, the ground counts as a chief, by the way.
The what?
The ground counts as a chief.
As a chief, yeah. Apparently, yes. Yeah. Yes,
the ground counts as a chief.
It's the Chiefs again. Listen, this is a great, this is an unbelievable run. Patrick Mahomes is turning into the GOAT. You know what? I don't know that he's got, I don't know what, how much more he has. If he wins this one, I know Brady's got six.
I was so mad after this game. And Mason goes, you're madder after this game than the Texans losing. I said, okay, A, I was at my friend's house, so I wasn't even here. So I don't know how you would even, you know, what you would even know. Because I was cheering for Buffalo. I think, but I know some people in the organization. But more importantly, I think the fan base is a fun fan base without being, you know, trying to fight everybody all the time. I think they're a fun fan base. I think that Allen has been a really good quarterback. I like guys like Khalil Shakir. I want to see Ed Oliver have success from Houston. Like, I was cheering for Buffalo to get over the hump. Plus, we're all sick of Kansas City. Most of America wanted KC to lose, and I was so pissed after that game that you just, like, and what I just realized in the middle of it is you can't have things where you can't get the tush-push. Philadelphia makes it so easy. Man, Buffalo couldn't get a yard to save their life with the same play. They couldn't.
I don't know. What's the deal? Well, first of all, they had Ray Davis behind him.
Yeah.
Or Johnson behind him instead of some
lineman.
Big offensive lineman.
Yeah. Put a defensive lineman
or tight end.
In there.
Yeah, put a big guy behind
put
him.
Jordan
and then they finally
Phillips
put a fullback back there. Put a freaking lineman
right.
back
put
there.
Jordan Phillips
and
back
push
there.
Him.
I know, it didn't
everybody
look
that I was with, I was at a house, well, I don't hate to drop names, but I watched the game with Cedric the Entertainer, and I watched the game with John Sally, okay? And I watched the game with, Coach DeBoer. I watched it with him.
Kalen DeBoer,
yeah.
Where were you? Where you were with Cedric the Entertainer? I don't care about John Sally. I care more about Kalen DeBoer and Cedric the Entertainer in the same place.
Yeah, I was with Kalen DeBoer and Cedric the Entertainer. The Washington basketball coach.
This had to be a Foxy thing.
I mean, it was a Fox and Pump thing. The Pumps.
Yeah,
it was
the
Pumps' birthday.
Yeah.
It was a Pumps' birthday.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
So, it was fun. It was interesting. Anyway, not one person was rooting for the Chiefs. Not one.
No.
And nobody has a stake in anything. Everybody was just, we're sick of them. Mm-hmm. Sick of them.
The only two, I noticed there's two groups of people. Either gamblers or, and I thought this was unfortunate, but it happens, is hardcore Lamar Jackson fans were cheering against Josh Allen to get there, which I just, like, if Lamar Jackson had beaten Josh Allen, I'm cheering so hard for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to beat.
Well,
it doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter. People don't understand.
They were saying,
all right, if you're the MVP, you need to get this. Otherwise, you're not the the voting's over. I don't know if you guys heard. The voting's over.
I know.
There's no playoffs.
Here's the problem. If you make a mistake, if you come up short on a fourth down, if you turn the ball over here, if you have any of these things happen, you can't beat the Chiefs. You have to play your best football. You saw the Texans outplayed them, and the Texans lost by 9, really 11, because you can't make those mistakes. You can't make mistakes because the Chiefs lock in. They get locked in, and your margin for error shrinks. And you know what's crazy is, do you think they win if Dalton Kincaid catches that ball?
Yes.
I do, too. I don't think there's enough. Well, you know, it could have been a field goal and they go to overtime. But, of course, it wouldn't have been a field goal had they been taking extra points. But that's a different conversation. But worst case scenario, they kick a field goal and you go to overtime. But I think there's a chance that Josh Allen and the Bills vanquish the Chiefs if Dalton Kincaid makes that catch, which was probably one of the best throws of the year. Josh Allen throws it up, and I felt like he was throwing up for grabs. I don't know how he threw it that far and got that much on it running backwards and to the right.
Hey, and you got to give Spagnuolo credit. I mean, all-out blitz that he brought the house, and it was the right call, and they couldn't get – now, if they score a touchdown on that blitz, then you know what? Spagnuolo is an idiot, and why would you do that? But they didn't.
Well, they
caused it incompletion.
No, and they said, I saw somebody on social media was discussing it, a football guy, who said, the protection itself, the offensive line didn't sort to the right. So that means that they had that he fooled them with the rush that they didn't see. Tony Romo mentioned it briefly, but from us, yeah, basically Spagnuolo was able to fool them with one look and go to another one. He said he looked like he wasn't going to, then he did, is what Tony Romo said. And, you know, if you look, the guy coming up back over the top, he went over the top and then back around was Khalil Shakir. He would have had a one-on-one in space had Josh gone to that, but that wasn't read one. There was no way. There was no time to even think about it because that wasn't the read. That was to pull people out of there. And he still made an incredible throw. And when I saw it in real speed, I'm like, I think Dalton Kincaid, who, by the way, dropped nothing in college. He had two drops his entire time in college and a ton of catches. Unbelievable hands. And I thought, did Dalton Kincaid just drop that? That had to have been tipped by somebody.
Stuff happens in the championship game. How many times did the Commanders fumble yesterday?
Yeah.
Holy crap, they didn't fumble at all.
Touchdown and they, every 4 minutes.
And oh, my
four
God.
Minutes, not on the clock. I was watching Quinshon Judkins, right? So I had the game on, and I eventually, like, okay, this is over. I'm turning the sound off. Then I would switch back to my tape I was watching. Then I'd just check. I just was checking the box score, and I'm like, what? 42?
No, huh?
I'm like, 49? 54? Like, it was – they were scoring every few minutes of actual real time.
Yeah, because they couldn't hold on to the ball.
I didn't know. Is that how it happened? It was just fumbles? Because I didn't even know how it was
happening. It was just all fumbles. Yeah, it was all fumbles. It was just ridiculous. It was just ridiculous.
I wish Cocky Bobby said
when we come back. When we come – and we still got What Have You Learned This Weekend – brought to you by Game Day Men's Health, coming up in about 15 minutes. So get yours ready because you learned something this weekend that you did not know, but you get one sentence to talk about it. When we come back, the Rockets with a huge win, back-to-back wins against the best team in the NBA. We will talk about it on the other side. Right now we got the Golden Nugget Lake Charles to talk about. Right now we got, okay, it's still cool out. Still rainy out, going to be rainy this week. You're not playing golf. I don't know what you're doing, but if you got a chance in the middle of the week to take a day off, make a two-hour run. It's not a commitment like Vegas is where you got to go for 2 or 3 days because all of the, you know, getting there and the plane flight and everything else, it's just not worth for going for a day. Well, Golden Nugget Lake Charles is just 2.5 hours. Hell, some days that's your commute to work, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Well, it's just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, right through Belmont. It's easy to get to. And if you're looking for fun, you're looking for a great place to get your – the DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't know who you like in this Super Bowl, but guess what? You can go and bet it at the DraftKings Sportsbook. You can bet anything at the DraftKings Sportsbook. You got the casino. You got the golf. I don't know if you can play golf this week. I'm probably not going to be at the pool, but they got a beautiful pool. They got restaurants, 12 of them. Poker room. They got everything you could possibly want. They got a nightclub. What are you looking for in a casino? They've got it at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Fun. Just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. Go GoldenNuggetLC.com.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about the Rockets? Holy crap. Back-to-back wins. Okay, it's the first time that the Cavs have lost three games in a row all season. It's only their third loss at home all season long. The Rockets have an incredible record against the top 10 teams.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
They're not just lamb killers at all.
This is not a lamb killer team.
No.
No. This is a team that's played. I think they get up. Listen, they've lost to Charlotte. They've lost to Detroit. Detroit's an okay team this year. Better.
No, they're around still close to 500.
They've lost some games against the Lambs that you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
What the hell? But then they, against Oklahoma City, against Cleveland, not against the Celtics, but we'll find that out now because they got the Celtics up next. But, man, this team, holy crap. And they built a huge lead. Now, they do give it up in the fourth quarter.
Oh, my God.
Stuff gets
nuts. They allowed 47 points in the fourth quarter.
47.
47 points to make it a game when they outscored them all three of the previous quarters. 47. I knowing what I know about hardcore basketball coaches, nothing makes them angrier. Like, I don't think Ime Udoka could have. I don't think he enjoyed the win, because he's going to be seething about that fourth quarter. He's just going to be too mad to truly enjoy the win, and that's a shame, because the game that they had. By the way, Evan Mobley played, so you don't have Evan Mobley as an excuse. And you didn't have just a team full of white guys playing for Cleveland this time. You know, Darius Garland had 39 in that game. You had Donovan Mitchell with 33. But it was the Amen Thompson game once again. I mean, Jabari Smith is done. He's cooked. We cannot have Jabari back in the lineup.
I don't know that he's done. I mean, he can take some. Although Jay Sean had some good minutes.
We're not doing Jay Sean. We're not doing Jay Sean tape. But
well, saying, no, but I will say
Jabari
I will say this: the last couple of games, Jay Sean has contributed. Now, not like Steven Adams contributed. Steven Adams in this game. Steven Adams was critical in this. He had 14 points, a season high, and they started playing hack a Steven. They started just following Steven Adams away from the ball, put him on the free throw line. Well, when they were doing that, he hit 5 out of 6. After the game, Kenny Atkinson was asked about that strategy.
Now tonight, you know, 45 free throws. Like, and we've been good at not fouling all year. That was a, you know.
What went into the decision to intentionally foul Steven Adams throughout that?
I think he's 37% for the year, I believe. So. You know, sometimes when you're struggling, that can, we've done it before, that can get you going during the year. Credit to him. What did he go, 4 for 5? So 5 for 6.
Jeff.
By the way, Houston Rockets in the last 10 games, John, last place in the NBA, 30th, 69.4% from the free throw line over the last 10 games. And Şengün was 7 of 13. This is a bad free throw shooting team, but he made some big.
Well. Except they made them at the end, except Amon.
Right.
Okay. They made critical free throws at the end of that game.
Mm-hmm.
The last, I don't know how many points were free throws. So,
They're shooting 69% from the free throw line over their last 10, but they're 8-2. It's just, that's unusual. That's unusual.
45 free throws. They were 32 of 45. That's not great. 32 of 45,
no, they're 71%.
Not great. But thank goodness they got 30. They had 45 free throws, and they won that game. It just says something about this. You know what? Amen Thompson is fantastic. Here is Steven Adams. Steven Adams was asked after the game about Amen Thompson. We talk about what a freak he is. Listen to Steven Adams, who's played a little bit of basketball in his life.
Played with a lot of great athletes. What are you seeing from Amen Thompson?
No, he's definitely one of the greatest athletes that I've seen. Dude's just a freak of nature. He's just unbelievable, dude. Like, even if you ask a basketball player, like, you'll see his body language and he looks out of position.
Yeah.
So visually you're like, okay, he's not. And then somehow he, like, just springs. I don't know, it just looks weird. He's standing up right and then he's right there getting a block. You're like, wait, what the f***? All right, dude. You know what I mean? Like, if that happens to me, I'm, like, late. They're getting a dunk. And then I'm getting on film, but he's able to, like, just spring out. I don't know what the hell it is. But it's crazy.
Defensively, what makes him able to guard Donovan Mitchell one possession and then Evan Mobley the next possession?
No, well, it's just his size. And then, again, like, it's just that again, he's just so quick. And it's not even just, like, oh, he's so strong, athletic. Like, his ability to, like, read the body language and understand what's, like, a fake and what's not. The very overlooked skill he has, where it's like a feel of like, okay, is he turning? Is it actually a drive or is it like a fake drive? He's setting me up. He's got really good. And also, you know, what helps him is that he has a large window for error. You know what I mean? That's where the athleticism buys you some time. You know, a person like me, I have to do a lot of my work early. You know what I mean? My window's about this big. You know what I mean? His one's like...
Yeah.
That is super insightful analysis because... It's like an evaluation that you have to do where what he talks about when he has the window. Okay, so he's talking. The first thing is his instincts. It's not something he can even explain. He just feels it. Like, he can just tell. I can just tell when you're going to fake and when you're not going to. He has incredible instincts. This is what I argue about the offensive line for the Texans, especially guard to guard. No instincts. They can't see or feel anything. Completely ignorant of what is going to happen despite seeing it. Amen always sees it. Amen was asked, I saw a video, I think it was Big Sarge had a video asking him, when did you learn to, you know, go after loose balls? Or it was something kind of, he goes, I don't know, I never really, like, I didn't start doing that until just recently. I just didn't have this feel. He has an unbelievable feel of where the carom is going. So they said Rodman used to do, and I'm not trying to, it's not because I'm trying to do the comparison, but they said Rodman used to have this unbelievable feel where he could see the shot go up, and he knew where it was probably, like, he could tell it was going to be a miss and where it was going to carry him to, and he could go towards where he thought the ball was going to carry him, and that's one of the reasons he had so many rebounds, is he just had a feel for where it would go. Amen Thompson is so twitchy, and if you want to know what twitchy means, it means Amen Thompson. His burst, his initial quickness to jump and explode upwards, his ability to jump twice in a row quickly with that type of vertical is why he doesn't get out rebounded ever. Like, if it's him versus somebody else, he's getting it. He jumps so high. He's got twitch, and athleticism is what he means. His margin for error, he can misstep in one direction, but he can recover. Slow guys can't recover. You have a low margin. Like, if Alperen Şengün makes a mistake defensively, he's cooked because he can't recover like that. I mean, Jalen's got it too. Jalen has recovery twitch and athleticism. But, man, Amen, that's just such a great way of talking about Amen Thompson, isn't it? Because he's just – I don't wear jerseys with guys' names on it, but Amen, if I did, it would be an Amen Thompson jersey.
Right. I don't either. I love watching him play, and we got to get to what did you learn this weekend in one sentence, but after that we got to get to the Cougs too, because it's my favorite team to watch. It is my favorite team to watch, the way that they play basketball, and what a win that was. All right, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. You got one sentence to tell us what you learned. As soon as somebody gets off, you get on. We'll get through a bunch of them. 713-780-3776. So let's do that on the other side. John Daspit is what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, let's talk about the Daspit Law Firm. They handle any and all cases with personal injury, and it's not just in the car accidents. It's not just at the workplace. There's really a lot that you need to take a look at. There's property loss. It's an expansive list of what John Daspit does for you and how he can help you if you have been wronged. Go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. That's DaspitLaw.com. But I'm telling you right now, he's a phone call away. They speak, obviously, bilingual. So if there's any questions about that, if you have someone or know someone who needs their help but they don't speak English, they can help on that front. But I just know this much. John Daspit understands that the battle he's in against the lawyers for insurance companies is a substantial battle. We already know they're trying to deny you from as much as they can. They don't want you to get a fair settlement. John Daspit, he goes the other way. He is a man of the people. He is going to fight for you to get a fair settlement and something that you can, you know, you can look at that will help you with whatever your recovery is. And the recovery sometimes can be substantial. And it's not your job to pay for that. It's the person who injured you, and it's their insurance company. So whether it's at the workplace, on the roadway, there's property loss, whatever it may be, go look at DaspitLaw.com and then go make the call. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. John will get you right. It's the Daspit Law Company.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Time to play. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. You learned something. It doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything, okay? It does not have to be about sports. It can be about anything that you want to talk about. But you learned it this weekend, so you want to bring it to the table. 713-78. As soon as somebody gets off, you get in. 713-780-3776. I'll start. I learned that I'm still excited about Astros baseball. And if this thing goes through, then I really think this is what looked like a terrible offseason could be a really, really good offseason. That's what I learned this week.
In one sentence.
I said, that was one sentence. That was it.
I learned that the super duo of Shingun and Jalen Green won't even produce the best player to come out of this team and the first all-star on this from this team.
Okay. All right. Dal, did you learn anything this weekend?
I learned that depending on what night you go to the House of Blues, it could stink.
Does that mean
one
smelly?
One sentence. He'll have to talk about it in a second.
He's asking for an explanation. The people, not the place itself.
Okay. So people stunk there.
People are stinky, though. That's why.
Well, I went to one show on Friday night.
So Fantagram people stink.
No, I went. He's asking. Now I got it. On Saturday night. No, he asked. I did one sentence, then he asked. Saturday, I went to Fantagram. Lovely people. Friday, I went to Thursday and Silverstein.
People are stinky.
And yes, a different crowd. Women on Saturday.
Yeah,
men on Friday.
Yeah, men stink worse than women. Yes.
Men who like to get in the pit.
Yeah, except sometime in Spain, right, John?
Stinky. Men are stinky. There's no question. Women have a good smell. Men, not so much. Not so much. All right, let's go, Dell. Who's up?
Well, we're going to start with Rodney. Rodney, what have you learned?
Rodney.
Sports, fellas. I learned this weekend that the state of Texas has introduced legislation to create their own strategic Bitcoin reserve. And the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, baby!
I did not know that. I just learned that just now. I don't know
I was this years old when I learned this.
I don't really know what it means, necessarily.
I don't know what that means either. But everybody can create... I mean, everybody can create a Bitcoin. What else? Who's next, Dell?
Brandon, what have you learned?
Brandon, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Kansas Jayhawks are really bad at closing out basketball games.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is true. Or the Cougs are really, really good. They had a 0.4% chance of winning the game. Down six. With 8 seconds left, a 0.4%, and they went on to win the game. Sharp with a huge three, and then Wilson with the other three to tie the game and send it to double overtime and win. Wow, guts. What a game.
Houston has what guts.
What a game. Who's next?
Dr. Dre, what have you learned?
Hey, double ride. I learned Geppetto Jones. Jerry is the sleepy Joe Biden of the NFL, you stupid son of a bitch.
What, are you not happy that he got Brian Schottenheimer?
Brian Schottenheimer.
What kind of head coach were you expecting? Nobody can outshine
happy?
Jerry. You can't outshine Jerry. So Brian Schottenheimer was the right pick.
Yeah. I mean, is anybody happy with that pick outside the Cowboys organization? Is anybody? Who's next, Dell?
Next up is
Peter. What have you learned?
Yeah, Peter.
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that Sacred Wish place, so I won some money. Thank you, guys.
Oh, I forgot. That was Reagan told us.
Reagan told us.
I totally forgot.
Oh, my gosh. But he placed?
Yeah, finished second.
Okay.
That's
fine. I would have bet it all on the win, lost.
I would have win play show.
I forgot about it, too.
But that's
he
my
placed.
That's my personality. Go win play show. You're more like go for it.
Go for it.
I'm a shuffle pockets and shuffle chips in a pocket type guy. Which we don't ever win big. People like us don't ever win big.
I got to tell you a story about Frankie sometime we went to the track. Who's next,
Tongue Dart Chris.
Tongue Dart Chris. What's up?
I learned over the weekend that the only way to battle my wife's bad attitude is to wait for her while she's sleeping and just keep crop dusting her.
You don't do that. That's not the way you battle attitude.
No,
because
she's going to wake up worse.
You go to a therapy. You don't just crop dust her face. I mean, that's just you can do that. I just don't think it's going to fix anything.
She's going to have a worse attitude after that.
But not if she's asleep, though, John.
Well, yes, she's going to wake up going, what a terrible night.
Let's get Tom in a mobile, the real one.
Which one, the real one, or the or Tom on a mobile?
Oh, yeah. Tom on a mobile is not the real one. Do we have we have Tom first?
Yeah, well, he called in second, but he's okay, up there too.
Let's get Tom on a mobile in first.
Okay, Tom on a mobile. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. I learned that getting sprayed in the junk with pepper spray hurts way more than getting hit in the eyes.
It's not getting sprayed in the
why
junk with pepper
Tom
spray.
On a mobile?
I don't
and
know.
Why is Tom catching it?
And he doesn't. That's not happening to Tom.
That's, that's not.
I don't think.
Well, let's get Tom in here now.
Find out. Maybe find it's out happened. What, I don't getting, think.
What is getting sprayed in the junk with pepper spray feel like, Tom?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Tom on a mobile.
Okay, good. Good.
All right, Tom. What do you got?
All right, I learned that at one time, Hakeem Olajuwon played a pickup basketball game with The Undertaker.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I learned that too this weekend.
Undertaker was a good. He was
neat,
a good
neat story.
Hey, where did you hear that from?
Well, it was on some podcast.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
I'd already heard about it before. Where they because Undertaker was a high school basketball player.
Yeah.
Here in Houston.
And he went to Fondy.
Fondy, yeah.
And he played against the Dream, and he was like,
I'm guessing it didn't go great.
He threw an alley oop that he thought. The Undertaker said, "I threw an alley oop that I thought was over the backboard, and the Dream got it and slammed it home." And he was like, "Yeah, nice pass."
Oh, they played with each other.
Yeah,
on the same team. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Who's next, Del?
Justin, what did you learn?
I learned that there are still casual Astros fans out there that believe Lance McCullers is coming back this year.
Yeah, it was announced, John. I don't know if you saw that, but
yeah, I saw
they had to
he's
come out
come
and
back
say,
after the
okay, Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers will not be available for opening day.
No.
Good
and
neither, Lord.
And,
we're going on
Christian
three
Javier
seasons.
Won't be Christian Javier won't be available till after the All-Star break.
This is why this all this hype and excitement about the pitching staff, until I see guys who are actually pitching, I can't get as excited about it, man. We don't come
I don't
back
have,
from injury worth a crap.
And I have more faith in Lance McCullers than I do Luis Garcia, if you want to know the truth.
Do you really? Well, because you've seen videos of Lance.
Well, I don't even know that Luis Garcia can pitch. We haven't seen – I mean, I know we haven't seen – we know what Lance McCullers
is. Well, remember he
is,
came
though.
Out and then they shut him down. Remember he
they
was expected
down,
to come
right.
back. But
before that, he was not good.
This is
so,
now
–
we're
know.
Going on 3 full years with Lance McCullers. Well, he will not be there for opening day, John. Right. How is that possible with one arm injury?
Right. Well –
well, yeah, what's the arm injury?
I know, it's multiple. Dell, who's next?
Let's go with underrated mess. What did you learn?
I learned that both on the radio and live broadcast of the Chiefs game, the final play, there was a flag, and the world would never know why it was picked up.
Yep.
So Jim Nantz said that they were told from the sideline there was, but there wasn't actually a flag. Somebody on there, I guess they get told there's a flag in their headset.
Well, no. There was the yellow popped up flag on the screen.
I know, because he made it sound like that was a mistake from a mistake in the from the production side.
People are suggesting it's because Dawkins took his helmet off after Kincaid dropped it.
That would be on the Bills.
Yes, but
and then they may have just said,
yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Well, whatever. I mean, I can't trust the referees with the Chiefs game. I just can't. Dell, who else?
Julian, what have you learned?
Morning, gentlemen. It's two things. They're both gambling. One, there was a guy who made a bet in the trucker lounge, and it was for $20. He gave 17, and his girlfriend was working at Denny's. He said, "Don't worry, she'll bring you the 3 later." And then, don't bet your 7-year-old; she'll win, and she definitely is going to get paid. Have a good one.
Your 7-year-old played the Chiefs. How about somebody that we know extremely well, John? I went to dinner with him. He goes,
"Freddie,
Moneyline Chiefs is the easiest bet." Now it wasn't easy, but he said, "When are you ever going?" He goes, "Whoever beats the Chiefs." It doesn't matter what they look like all year. You know they're going to win. The money line is the easiest play because they're going to win. He goes, just fire on it and unload on it. Of course, the Chiefs are there again. In their worst season in years, they still
How about the 17th straight win in a one-score game?
I know.
NFL record.
They continue to pile on their NFL record.
NFL record, 17 straight wins in a one-score game. They just know how to win.
Appreciate greatness, fellas.
Yep. I hate them. That's it, Del, or we got more?
That's it.
That's it. All right. Good job, people. Good job. Although, Julian, you don't know how to play the game because you've had 12 sentences.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, you don't know how to play the game. All right. You played Lance's. What did you learn this week?
I know. I like to play that game.
That's the way you like to play it. All right, Sam, thank you, Game Day Men's Health. We appreciate you for sponsoring What Have You Learned This Weekend in one sentence. Great job. Great job. We're 1 hour in. We got to talk about that Cougs game on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.